This is JFM Podcast.
The chairman of the Economic Financial Crimes Commission yesterday made it clear that our corruption in Nigeria has gone to another level, in the sense that he actually expresses his pleasure, you know, in persons not coming out, not attending,
showing up for investigations
anytime they are being called. And, you know, with the whole of this, it actually looks like the nation at large is getting to one direction. The way governance has been in the past, when you have someone at the top, you tend to cover the person by all means. Well, this is taking another dimension in the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, as the chairman yesterday also revealed that the former governor of Kogi State, talking about Yahaya Bello, was involved in sending the sum of $720,000 to clear his child's school fees up front. That is in advance. Well, when I saw that, it sounded funny, but of course at the same time so painful. In a state like Kogi State, where salaries of workers are not even paid, some are being paid in percentages, some are not even seen at all, you get to tell us that you are paying your child's school fees in advance. Before then, the EFCC invited him for an interrogation about 180 billion, and he had a whole lot to say about that very one. But I think before we go further into the discussion, let's hear from the EFCC boss as he expresses his pleasure towards the matter.
Udo, what is it, boss? Yes, cashier, the government house cashier. The guy that was bringing the billions, I'm so passionate about to be here for us to move forward in this. A sitting governor, because he knows he's going, you move money. I mean, the particulars of offense is there, it's before court. Go and check it. Apply for our processes, please. You will get some of these particulars of offense there. Move money directly from government to bring the change. Use it to pay the child's school fee in advance. In advance, dollars. I mean, how much? 71? In dollars, yes, in dollars. It's like $2,000. $20,000, sorry. $720,000 in advance. In advance that he was going to leave government house. In a poor state like Kogi. And you want me to close my eyes to that? Under the guise of, I'm being used by who? At this stage of my life, just by who? By who? For crying out loud. I assumed office here. I didn't initiate the case. I inherited the case file. I called for the case file. I called for the report. And I said, look, there are issues here. Do you know on my honor, I put a call across to him, which ordinarily I'm not supposed to do. Just to honor him as a governor, as a immediate past governor. Sir, there are issues. I've seen this case file. Can you just come? Let us clarify these issues. I'm under camera. He said, sir, I thank you, my brother. I know, but I can't come. There's one lady, I don't know what her name is, maybe a senator, that she learned she had said, you know, she has surrounded the FCC with over 100 journalists, you know, to come and embarrass him and intimidate him and all kind of stuff. I said, okay, if that is your fear, I'm going to pass you through my own gate, special man's gate. You will come to my floor. We will accord you that respect. I will invite my operatives. They will come and interrogate you or interview in my own office. What could be more honorable than that? In my own office. To allay the fear. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. You know what he said? But can't they come to my village? That's what he told me. Can't they come to my village to come and say, I told you. He also got to talk. He sent a message to him. My director of the investigation sent a message to him. Some people say, we are handing him. We are harassed. Let's be fair on this. Look, we need the FCC. We need the institution to survive. We need this institution to survive. I'm telling you. So many victims that we have wiped tears off their eyes. People that we have swindled and all of that in their millions. How much are we going to say? Every day we keep recovering money for victims. Every day. In my 6 months, we have recovered close to 120 billion. Over 1,600 convictions.
Wow, this is a serious matter, Emily.
That's an interesting one. You can feel the passion, or you can hear the passion in his voice as he talks about this.
The pain at the same time.
It's something we're not used to, because most times, and pardon me to say this, most of the people in charge of agencies dance to the tune of the government. Mm. But this time around, he's come with something new. Well, we have our guest in the house, and we'll be talking about a very pressing issue today. Mr. Sunday Abdu, who is the Plateau State Emergency Management Agency Chairman. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Quickly, Mr. Chairman, before we delve into the flooding matter that took place, in some parts of the state, this is not the first we've witnessed in years. This happens to be another one out of many. Meanwhile, the rainy season has not even come to that very extent. But before then, can we get your take on this very, matter
of the EFCC
on corruption matter and how it might actually dwindle the Nigerian economy? Sounds funny, yes.
just give us your view on this, because we all have different perspectives.
I stand on the path of truth and judgment that is predicated upon righteousness. Mm. You see, what is happening to the Nigerian nation is a thing that everyone needs to pray for this nation. Of course, some people will say that it's not about prayer. Yeah, but we have to pray that the Lord will touch the hearts of people. Not only leaders, even the followership needs prayers, so that we'll be up and doing. What is happening with the EFCC? I give the EFCC chairman thumbs up. He's one man that I have seen so far exhibiting the kind of qualities that we need in our, leaders that are saddled with the responsibility of checkmating those in governance or in government. And so I really doff my cap for him. And I also want to say here very clearly that Yahaya Bello is a Nigerian. He is not above the law. If he's claiming that he was not served any letter, today is aware that he is needed by the FCC. So he should go. He should honor the invitation, go and answer their questions, and then free himself. Or even if he's indicted, he's not the first to be so indicted. And then he own up to his responsibility as a steward. You know, when you are giving responsibility, and especially of the people, then you should be ready to answer every question that is put before you. So what is happening today in the EFCC circle, it's a beautiful thing. And I say kudos to the FCC chairman.
All right. The FCC chairman also said in the 6 months that he has been in office, about 1.2 billion has been recovered, and 300 accounts were also frozen by the EFCC. Well, many thanks for lending your voice on that. Now let's get to the matter of the day, which is about the flooding, which we've experienced. There was a dangerous one that happened sometime last year, and at the same time, we had another one in 2022, prior to the 2023 general elections. Then we saw a lot of politicians go there to show their concerns, and they actually went there. Now it's more like we don't actually take the preventive measure. We rather take the consolation or sympathizing step at the end of the day when we allow these things happen. Now, as the government, how have you made sure and ensure that this series of floods which we've experienced on the plateau don't get to occur again? Once again, good morning.
Good morning, Fias. I thank you very much for this invitation to lend my voice to the happenings around us, especially as the rainy season is setting in. The issue of flooding in Nigeria or in Plateau or in Jos is not a new thing. Of course, like everybody know, you do not need to be told that once the rainy season sets in, flood is one thing that must happen, especially in areas that you find lawlessness, filthy environments, and all whatnot. The truth is that, yes, flood is a natural, phenomenon, but a lot of it, especially on this part of the world, it's mostly predicated by dirty environment. You keep throwing dirt into the waterways, or you go to a river where you know is where water flows, and then you build your house. What are you thinking? What are you expecting? Now, when you find, you know, the waterways being, you know, filled with dirt, of course, you know very well too that when the water or the flood water comes in, or when rain starts, you know, you cannot restrain water from flowing in its path. Once you block it, it looks for an alternative way, and then it moves. So you can't stop it. And therefore, you are right to say we seem not to be taking, you know, precautionary measures, but rather we prefer to go and pay a visit and to sympathize. Well, you may not even know that some people may be more interested in the visit. I'm telling you. Because as I am seated here right now, I do not know why somebody will go to that kind of place and build his house and expect to go, you know, scot-free. No, it's not possible. You will fill your leather bag or Ghana must go with filth, and then you throw it inside the waterway. What do you expect? That's what the repercussion is, that when the water sets in, then it will flood the environment. It floods the roads, even the coulter, where you're supposed to see cleanliness, you see filth everywhere. Why? Because the people are so irresponsible to the extent that they do not mind the hazards, you know, that is caused by their actions.
Okay, so thank you for giving us the people's perspective. So let's move to the federal government, or the government, pardon. What is the government's role in this, in the preventive measures against
that's
this?
That's right. The government's role, one, is to, of course, sensitize the people, to also show them the dangers of, you know, what they're doing, either where they're building. You may know that the JMDB may stop you from building a house where they know it is dangerous. You will still go head on and do it. And then you expect when the rains come, the flood will spare you. And then when the water takes your children, two or three, and you survive, you start calling on government to assist you. That is rubbish. Government has this as a role to sensitize the people. Two, are they doing that? Yes. Two, government has the role of clearing, you know, the waterways. Yes. Even though it is done by the people, but the government will always seek for ways to do it. Are they doing it? Yes, this government. Today, you bear me witness that every street you're going, even along this road or the other streets, you see works taking place. The workers are, you know, excavating the waterways, excavating every field. Yes, packing them on you know, trucks and what have you, clearing the waterways as we speak. Yesterday, I took a tour of the city, and I saw so many of these streets, you know, being cleared of all these dirt. And so, thank God for that.
Well, there have been complaints about the new roads being constructed and the absence of drainages. In these roads. So I want to know, is this something that the people constructing are aware of? Are they putting the dangers into consideration?
Or probably the part of the plan of the government.
Well, I'm not a building engineer.
All right.
Neither am I holding brief for the GM of road maintenance. But the truth is this. There are some roads that truly, because of the topography of the area, you do not need to have waterways because it naturally, you know, allows water to flow. That is one. Two, like I told you, as we speak, every road, like even Tafawa Belewa that I went yesterday, I saw how they're removing, clearing the gutters, clearing them everywhere, all the roads they're clearing. Now, if you clear all of this dirt, earth, in the water, in fact, you know, the waterways are taken over by earth, not even common leather bags, that you see, or pure water, you know, sachets. Mm. Yeah, but you see, even clay has taken over the waterways. So today, the government has taken it upon itself to clear these waterways, and it's going to give, you know, space for water to flow easily into the canals, wherever they're draining themselves.
Now, considering that in some areas already flooding has started, what are some emergency measures that are put in place to address those concerns?
We as an agency have, you know, taken it upon ourselves to, one, encourage people to be wary of their environment, using organizations to do jingles to sensitize the people. Number two, there is one thing that government does and the people refuse to hearken to, you know, such instructions. People living along, you know, the waterways or river areas, banks, they are always encouraged by government to evacuate those areas. But you know, one thing that disturbs us today is poverty. Mm. Somebody feels he has managed to raise this structure. Where will he go to? Then you ask him, if the water comes and take you, where will you be going to? So it's better to help yourself and go somewhere else. Maybe when the raining season is over, they can go back. And so we are sensitizing the people. But whether they are taking it to heart or not is yet another issue.
Okay, now this is the point. You mentioned something about sensitizing the people and probably advising them to leave the areas which this flood might actually happen. Remember, mm-hmm. Their properties are also there. They also have properties already in that place, probably be it, their television set, their sound system, their gadgets already there, their chairs and other things, which we know when the rain comes, they might start life all over again. Now, if the government is asking them to move away from that place, yes. Where's the alternative for them? Because you can't just tell us to move out when there is no alternative.
Well,
yeah, although we have family members, but of course we can move our properties into our family members' houses.
Yes.
You know how it actually looks like.
Okay, it's you are invariably saying that because I have my properties in this structure and I see hazard approaching and coming to me, I should remain because it is mine.
No, we're talking about preventive measures.
No, we're asking about the alternative given to these people.
No, yeah. You see, the government cannot do everything.
Okay.
No, that's the truth. The government cannot do everything. In fact, there is no way that the government can say, we will now give you alternative, come and stay in this so place, because the government is yet to erect such structures. The federal government did something like that. But fortunately, it is located only in one area. That is at the southern zone. Mm. And it is in Shendam local government. Okay. Do you understand? Mm. Now, that structure is so large. It's a gigantic structure. Two-story buildings, if I am not mistaken. And very large with dormitories, with equipment and mattresses, all set for such
emergencies,
abnormalities. When eventualities come, you know, the people can be. Now, the question is, who will you remove from Anguanrogo? Not Anguanrogo.
From Rikos.
Rikos, Gangare,
Anguanjarawa,
to take them to Shendam to go and stay there before the rain sets or finish. Hmm. Who will go?
So isn't there a need for the state government to actually provide something as such?
Because in different locations, not just one.
For example, the IDPs have where they stay whenever they have been attacked. We know these are not really planned for, but it happens to be the IDP camp, you know, because of the attack they've actually faced. Now, in a situation like this, this is more like a disaster. It's more like a disaster. And since the government are not taking, proactive measures and making these people understand the fact that you need to stop some of this, probably, stop putting the debt in the drainages, or at some time, your building plans should actually have this number of, meters away from this also place, you know, not having these close buildings together. Because when you go to places like Tudunwada, for example, places like Kabong, also Gadabu and some other parts of the plateau, you get to see the structure of the building. You ask if there there is no plan in the city? That's one question you ask yourself. Now, if the governments are not actually taking those stick and carrot approach, you know, to these very persons, and of course, if they don't really see actions being taken, how do you expect them, you know, to actually believe that the government really want them to do this? Because Nigerians, we believe more in actions than just mere words.
You are right. As we speak, I paid a visit to the general manager, just
Metropolitan Development Board,
and we will soon enter into, you know, an arrangement where every structure that is, one, illegally erected at a place, every structure that is illegal, you know, is erected at a hazardous area, compromising the well-being of the people, you know, we this government is very responsible. This government is concerned about the lives of our people, and therefore we will soon swing into action to make, you know, to enforce some things. As you can see, if you go around the city once more, you will see where the JMDB have started marking
buildings.
Yes, asking the people to quit all those areas. And that's what we're doing right now, to sanitize the city and then to help the people to escape from the impending doom via flood. The JMDB is also constrained because some of these things are endemic. Endemic because they've been there for long and they've been neglected. Now, coming to upset it is like running against the tide.
Mm.
And the people are rising against it. But we are not, we are not bothered, because what we are looking for is their safety and the well-being of the state. So we are doing something with JMDB as we speak.
Okay, I still want to know this: how has your agency, you know, been able to work with PEPSA, JMDB, and probably other agencies? Because you just mentioned JMDB alone. That's now, what about other agencies who might actually be involved? The Urban Development, the Ministry of Urban Development, you know, the PEPSA, the Ministry of Environment, and others, to make sure that this doesn't happen.
The general manager of PEPSA,
the DG,
of PEPSA, is a very serious young man as well, just like JMDB, and he has also promise to not to allow any of these things to discourage him. He, in fact, he has set a program where all these areas that are being, you know, that are, you know, they are being flooded with dirt. You can see they are clearing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I paid him a visit, and he also told me that he is on course, and he is not willing to bow down to pressures. Whatever will take place must take place in order to give Plateau a good name, and then to make the people feel comfortable in their environment.
Okay.
So we're collaborating, actually. In fact, yesterday we met with one other Director General of Statistics, so that he too will be involved in the activities of SEMA, and then JMDB, and then PEPSA, and all other agencies, so that there will be this, you know, synergy. And then we'll be able to address some of these issues squarely without any wrangling or running over each other.
All right, still just want to know, for those who were affected last year, how did the state government come through your agency to them? How did the state government got to them? Because we know probably palliatives or probably there were things the state government actually could help with, but how did that really happen?
Yeah, some of these things come in trickles.
Okay.
Some of these things come with a lot of delay due to logistics and plans. The federal government has done a lot to the flood victims last year. In fact, it may interest you to know that we shared a lot of things to the victims of flood 2022 in 2023. And for 2023, the statistics is yet to be is on. The data is being gathered
from September to now.
That's right. And so we intend to get all these informations, then you know how to address the problem. You cannot solve a problem without having the data or details of the people involved. It may interest you to know that even those that were not affected by the flood came to the place where the victims were being, were shared this palliatives or victim support program. We suffered a lot. And everybody was saying, madam, you do not have the list, the slip, because we took the data of everyone that was involved or that was affected by flood in 2020.
Just to ask, who actually took the data? Was it your agency or the statistical or the statistics agency?
Of course, our agency plus NEMA took the data. Because we had to, just like I told you, we now try with the DG of statistics to now synergize.
Okay.
Yeah, but as it were, we collected this data and then we gave every victim slip. You have a slip. That one has. Mm. Even in an area, it's not everybody that is affected.
Yeah.
Only the people that were affected were counted and then giving a slip to hold on to. While some people talked,
came without a slip.
While some people lost their slips because they didn't take care of it properly, maybe due to other reasons based on to them, they misplaced theirs, or some didn't take it serious. They said, government, what will government do? They threw it away. They came. You will show your slip. We have a list of items to be given to each person.
Mm.
Some people lost their business environment. Maybe saloon, or maybe farm, or maybe food, or clothing. So the government thought it wise to assist such people with such implements that could alleviate their suffering. And therefore, some people got food items.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be given a bag of rice, a bag of maize, maybe 10 kg or 25 kg, as the case may be, and then beans, that is food, plus oil. Now, some other people that lost their belongings will be given two mattresses, giving blankets, will be giving some other things. While those that lost their business environment, some are giving grinding machine, some are giving, this thing that they use to spray insecticides, herbicides in the farms, and all whatnot. But what did we see? Everybody in the city ran to that place and flooded the area
again.
And so it's a problem, but we are trying to do better this time around.
All right, it's 9 months down the way since the last flood from September, October. When you count down, you should know it's already 9 months down the way, down the line, and nothing has been done to the last victims. Why is it taking so long? Let me begin that way. Capital intensive. Is it that the government don't have the money to actually do this?
No, government has the money to do so many things.
All right.
So there are competing demands.
And but this is an emergency.
This is an emergency matter. It's an emergency that has taken place over the years. There's no more emergency like that.
Because the government didn't try to make it an emergency, make it also look like an emergency anymore.
No. The government tried to make it. In fact, like I told you, we gave some palliatives to such people. Even last month, this is April, we were there in February this year to share to the victims of Jos, that is Anguarogo, Anguarimi, and then Apata. We were there to share to them, so we addressed the
issue. So you mean you're taking it step by step and not all together at once?
No, because it is a Herculean task, honestly, and it's capital intensive. But like I said, it will not be like since last year the government has done that. I just told you, in February and March, we addressed their needs and supplied them
with some of the palliatives. All right.
Yeah. Now, with due respect to the past occurrences, I would like to ask, as of now, because Plateau has been listed as one of the 31 states which is prone to flood this year, what are, or how prepared rather, is the agency for any emergencies that would occur as of now?
Talk about quick response.
This agency is just coming back to life. Why? Because it has been comatose over the past 8 years.
Wow.
Yes, this agency has not been operational for the past 8 years. Now, it's this new government, new regime, that thought it wise to, you know, rejig the agency, to rise it, bring it back to life, and then equipped it. So as we speak, the governor has done very well by, one, appointing, you know, executive secretary in the very first instance.
Mm-hmm.
The workers in that agency, you know, became alive. The whole place was agog when they heard over the news that, you know, an executive secretary is now appointed. Do you know that for the past 8 years, there was no executive secretary appointed? Not
really?
Ever. And so the entire place was dead. But now we're coming back to life. And the governor is doing his best to to bring the place back to normal and then equip the place. You see, we need equipment to run this agency. Emergency equipment, no ambulances, no firefighting equipment, no, you know, other machineries, excavators. We need all of that. And so this government is ready and it's doing its best to equip us. And so when that happens, you will be shocked.
So how much pressure have you actually mounted on the government to actually provide all of this before the rainy season goes worse?
As we speak, I have mounted more than what is called pressure. And the governor is a listening governor, and we thank him for all that he's doing. He responds to our request instantly.
Okay, so I have another question, but before then, we'll soon be opening the phone lines. The numbers to call are
0905-566-6699. Take that again, 0905-566-6699. You can also call us on 0812-187-7777. Just to let you know that calls and, of course, messages on our social medias, social media handles are not properties of JFM 101.9. Of course, properties of the individuals. At the same time, we beg you to be civil, you know, in making your points. And, of course, let's do it in a civil manner. That's what I'm just trying to say. Well, the phone lines are now open.
So I'd like to ask this question. You talked about the fact that the agency is creating a lot of awareness through adverts from through other agencies also. But this is something I would like to ask, because it's a pressing need and we're approaching already. We've started into the rainy season. What on field work is the agency doing to reach out to these people? Are you going there like live physically to reach out to these people,
yesterday,
or just through adverts?
To answer you outrightly, yesterday we visited such areas just yesterday to make sure that the people must respond to the advices that we're giving them, because we'll not be ready. We are no more prepared to be begging people anymore. It's going to be an enforcement. That is why I told you we are working in synergy with JMDB, with PEPSA, and with other agencies. Yeah, we are doing our best, and it must be done.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the phone lines quickly. Hello, good morning.
Very good morning.
Good morning to you. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you very much, Richard Dodu, Naomi Karim. This is great comment.
No, it's not Naomi, it's Emily.
It's Emily Alibeku, not Naomi.
Anyway, the name is very, very strange. God bless you, the both of you.
Thank you.
You just have spoken very, very well, but let me say this to be very brief. I don't know whether the government will investigate some incidents before, in such a manner, before they interview. Why am I saying this? Someone will just go and find a space. Just, you don't even care to build houses inside the river. Either beside the river. They don't care. You cannot build a house in the waterway and you see yourself. So I'm advising the government should. What kind of incident will interfere or intervene? Don't just go and spend people. This is a public forum. So I'm advising people to go look for a plot somewhere in a very good place that they will not be disturbed by flood. The government should not be watching people's phone on things that doesn't make sense. There are some people that are not ready for government to interfere. They know that they are not going to survive that building, but they will still build houses there. And they know definitely that there is going to be flood. So the government should be careful in using public phone, please. They should advise the public to know where they will build their houses. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Right, let's take this. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Ricky.
Good morning to you. Welcome.
Thank you. This is Jude Safran Tijosho.
All right, Jude, please go ahead.
Thank you, my brother. You and Jess have said it all. If someone wants to save his life, let him do safely. You know, water waste. Even after 100 years, more water must find its way. So anybody that built close to river or close to waterways, they say that they don't used to tell somebody that is wise to leave the sun. If the sun hits him very well, the person will give way. You understand? Look for safety. Please, I want to make one comment more about this Yabelo issue. It's very, very unfortunate in this country. People stop there with misbehaving. See how this young man that you gave work. If I'm Tinubu, I will intervene in this case. You understand?
Okay.
You give this young man to do a fantastic job. How can you do his job? See what is happening. Let Tinubu do the... He said that he's a man of integrity. Let him do the NATO.
Okay.
So that Yaya Bello will go and explain himself. Good morning.
All right.
Thank you so much, Jude, for your thoughts.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good morning. My name is Lakuya. I'm calling from Bachelor Road.
Right, good to hear from you. Please go ahead. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Please, I want to give you just an assignment. Maybe if you adopt the studio. When you get to British America, you're going through the anti-junction. When you get to that first bridge, look at your left hand side and look at what people are doing. They're building on the water well. And JMDB is looking at them. So people are even building hotels there. That's fine. You see, we will approve that plan for them. At the end of the day, they now say, flood of the sea. Why will you be on the waterway? And our government and the government are looking at them now. Now, if not the big house is there now, maybe in the future, they want to say, no, people should leave this place. It might also be a crisis. I know they do not want to say inflation, they do not want to say inflation state, or they don't even want traditional, what's about inflation state. I don't know why people are going to be on waterway. It's very, very bad. So government should do something as early as possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Welcome, Rebena, around the line.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Welcome, Rebena.
All right. Come, Rebena, the floor is yours.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you calling from? Tell us where you're calling from. Very important. Okay, please go ahead.
Well, the people that don't have the worst made in Plateau, but that's a different ballgame.
Yes.
I don't know who my friend is. I know her banker, the GM for GNDB and that officer. Who is that?
Well, this is Sunday Abdul, who is the Executive Secretary of State Emergency Management Agency, SEMA, just like we have at the federal level, NEMA, yes.
Can understand. Thank you very much. Sorry, I will call.
Thank you.
You know, it is easy to destroy, but to me, I'm not a politician. But to review it is a very close assignment. We should be monitoring, praying for this government. They have something before. They have sympathy and empathy. They know they are Nigeria. You know, there are some people who come from the worst locality, and when they get power, they start to move there. But no one knows where you're coming from and know where you're going.
All right.
And that's an issue. We gathered all the competent listeners around them, and they're doing their job. But the issue is, nobody in this house anyhow. It's out of expression. Like somebody said from Bauchula, it is the duty of the agency to caution those people out of expression, building their houses. Don't do that. It's no problem tomorrow.
Okay.
So when you allow them, because of the problem they have, they can vote for this. And sir, the issue of water is on the concurrent of cities. And the way we are praising the government of Green, and we see praising the president over there to interfere because the combined team or the president of the governor and the federal, because the federal cannot be quiet.
Okay.
Because water is a revolt project.
Thank you so much for your thoughts there, Great Comrade Bennett. Let's get on to more phone calls. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
My name is Vera. I'm calling from Oldukrupa.
Didn't get the name.
My name is Vera. I'm calling from Oldukrupa.
All right, Giwa, please go ahead.
I want to call on the guests in the house. They have said it. It's not for us to chip in our own few contributions. Well, I want to say the issue of flooding is that, you know, we in the government, it's all about continuity. It's just like when you come to this place, it's like Rampam Street, Amodi Delaware. They've done a good job there by clearing the water. But they still left it on the roadside. You see, once water falls, it will still flush it back into the drainage. Why not, after clearing it, you pack it and take it somewhere else? Mostly, like, if you come to this Vandapuye ward now, there is one place that they call Tafabalewa, end of the Tafabalewa road. You see, that drainage is blocked. Whenever you fall, you see that road, everywhere is blocked. The water will be hard to pass. Whenever they pack the drainage, the rain will still come and then flood it back into the gutter. So you see, when government do not everything they want to do serious, that's what we keep on facing. Whenever they pass it, let them clear it out of those places. At least the drainage will look okay. But not after doing a good job, you see, leave it at the end, to go back to the drainage.
All right.
Not done like that. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. Mark House, hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good morning, I guess, from the studio. My name is Okoro Kraft. I'm calling from Owo Blade International Center, Owo Blade in Angola.
All right,
yeah, Okoro. I would advise the emergency agency that all those areas that are black zone or blacklist, please just go around and use town criers. Town criers and be shouting to those people in those areas. So that you enter their head, because you see, Nigeria, some of Nigerians are very stubborn. They don't like hear what they hear everything before. You stand so that when it happens or when you take action, nobody will blame you. Because we have come to a situation that people don't like to take instruction and advice. Everything there is a change. Like the last caller was talking about those waste on the roadside. At least the people are supposed to call the agency concerned to come and pack it, but nobody will just raise their leg up and pass and waiting for. Which is not everybody should part and parcel of it. And Nigerians should be very, very careful. Now, the forecasters have told us, the meteorologists have told us, all those areas, all these states are prone to social system. Take action. Although there's need for government to have what we call emergency relief camp. Although emergency relief camp should not last more than 2 weeks, or the people should find their way. But the question is, let the people concerned. I don't know why Pusa is that reclaiming land. Because you want to attack and this and that. Look, statistics of fighting after any place will reclaim after 20 or 25 years, the whole place will still come back scientifically. And it happens. People should learn and be aware of what's called digital environmental technology. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Oblo, for that contribution.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. I'm Mr. Richard.
Good morning.
All right, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, I am Mr. Sunday Monk from Vom.
All right, Mr. Sunday, go ahead.
Please, I am greeting the guest there. That's Mr. Sunday Abdu.
Thank you. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, brother.
What I want to achieve in this, you see, people, when a government has good intention for the people, people always distract. You see, if there's anything, if I will never take action and show an example to some other, people will just say that this is a mere something. Like the GMDB, any building that the GMDB has marked red, go and pull at that building. If the GMDB will pull on one or two buildings tomorrow, nobody can repeat it again.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you just put the mark, whether or not we go for negotiation and tomorrow the person continues with the bleeding, the next person will come to us and say, that person who done it in the other years, what have they done for them? Remove the bleeding. The next person will not do it tomorrow. This government has very good intention for this thing. But there are some people, they are finding somewhere they don't want to see. The flood, you cannot divert water whether you like it. In 100 years, you cannot divert water whether you like it or not. Good morning.
Thank you, Sunday.
Right, I think we're taking more calls at this point.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Benedict calling from Serengeti.
All right, Benedict, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Please, it's a particular story I figured concerning Plateau State, you know, and about the development and coming from the governor of the state, Caleb Manasseh.
Okay.
From His Excellency. And that is to the effect I had in another registration this morning, to the 24th day of April, 2024. And that is to the effect that the governor has magnanimously decided to pay outstanding pension and arrears from 1986 to 2024. Thank God that your guest is very, very close to the governor. I don't know, sir, if this is actually the plans of your government to look at outstanding tensions and gratuities of workers of the Plateau State that have been abandoned by previous governments.
All right, thank
you. To bring them to life again now and again.
Well, Bernard, just to let you know, this is not part of what we're discussing, but if our guest can answer that.
You're talking about Plateau State.
Can I talk?
Okay.
Let's not have conflicting matters here. This is not exactly why our guest is here, but of course, if he can lend his voice to this, probably we'll be glad at the same time. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Please let me now stick into the topic.
Okay.
Yes, like your guest has rightly said, quickly, I think it is a collaboration between the citizens and the government.
Mm.
Like someone said this morning, that clearing your damages is not what the government is expected to come and do in front of your company, in front of your house.
Mm.
And clear these damages and make sure that even mosquito bite, you should not clear your damages, not even only the flood, but mosquito bite. And you come to realize and understand, and agree with me, that lack of clearing of these damages, or clearing the damages and dumping it also close to that gutter, will also make the situation worse, because the reason why we are having bad road, potholes on the road, is because our drainage district is blocked. The water is supposed to flow on top of these constructed roads. And if this road has to do water and lot of and if heavy trucks work on it, it is going to break the road. So please, it is a collaboration. Let the masses do their own part. And again, let also the government also help us in some doing certain things that the masses don't have the strength to do. I think it's going to be a collaborative something for all of us to put us together and make this state work.
All right. Thank you, Benedict.
Right, I think we already have a lot of calls. Before we get to the comments, maybe you have to react. Maybe you would like to react to some of them and comments, calls, questions and comments from the phone calls.
Yeah. Thank God for the comments. Most of them spoke the truth and to the point. I said it here very clearly, that whoever is building on the waterways know that he is prepared to face the consequences. You do not expect government every day to tell you, don't build here, don't build. You are building on a waterway, and you know that this one is hazardous.
But some people are ignorant of the fact that for them to know this is a waterway, this is not a waterway. You know, some lands are inherited, and because it's inheritance, they just get to. Some people just have small money, they just want to buy and build house.
Yeah, I agree. And that is why I said earlier, we are taking it upon ourselves to impress on the GM of JMDB to insist and then discourage all this kind of, you know, retrogressive development. It's no more development. You cannot be building in the riverside, at the riverside, and you expect that you will live freely, you know, without any problem. So we are doing that. And secondly, the issue of, packing dirt out of the gutters and then leaving them, maybe it's due to shortage of trucks to park them. I've seen trucks that are parking all these debts along the road. Maybe they've not reached some other areas, and they will surely get there. It is no gain saying that it will be a huge waste of time to remove dirt from the waterway and leave it on top of the road. It does not make sense at all. But they are doing it. I saw them doing it, and they will surely get to the areas that are yet to be, you know, evacuated. And also to encourage that the government cannot do everything for everybody. It's not possible. The government no matter how rich the government is, cannot address all these problems
at once.
Yes, and therefore, the people must be patient with the government and do not expect the government to solve all of your problems. Any problem, like one of the callers said, any one that is living in a house and in a barrack, that is why we have monthly sanitation. You see people playing football or even playing card or ludo instead of clearing the environment. The essence of that, you know, exercise is to clear your environment. Clean the gutter if it is blocked. Remove the grasses around and make your environment look clean. Yes, mosquitoes are there. When you allow dirt and water not to flow, you know, it will be a breeding ground for mosquito. And that will be counterproductive because the money you would have used to pay your school, your children's school fees or to even feed, you use it to pay for medication.
Hmm.
And so I feel I needed to encourage our people to be more responsible, even in the way we do our own things. Thank you.
All right, so let's just take some comments from our social media handles. Let's go to Facebook. We have Dauda ARGG saying, the government should renovate and clean water channels in the city of Jos and environs. People should be sensitized to always clear the culverts.
I think not just the government. Individuals are also a responsibility to do that because the government, we know, can't touch everywhere. Like I used to say, let's not just put it on the government all alone. Mm-hmm. As individuals, how have we been able to clear our communities?
Barnabas Ukehemba is saying, good morning, presenters and the guests in the studio. My take for this matter is that people should give waterways to pass. They should stop blocking waterways with their dirt. And if they do, they will not experience flooding again.
Mm.
And Rachel Split says, it has to start with us. Don't build on waterways, floodplains, or encourage erosions. We must also have a habit of cleaning our waterways and removing blockage. Government can't do it alone. It's a collective effort.
Mm.
Let's take one more. Elegant Mart says, let the people continue building on waterways 100 times and water will find its way 100 times. So we don't hope for that. So due to time constraints, before we round up, Mr. Sunday Abdu, would you have something you want to say to all the people out there in respect to this?
Yes, just to add that we need to be more responsible than we are now. While the government is doing its best to meet our needs, let us do our best to assist the government. Thank you.
All right. I think with this very one, we want to say a very big thank you for being a part of this very program. Of course, we'll be calling it a wrap for now, but of course, on our own side, we actually indulge the individuals to be very careful. This is the rainy season. Sometimes before the government come to respond to most of these matters, the rain must have done whatever.
The damage already.
So in order for us not to be victims once again, we know the one in 2022 was not expected. We thought it would just be the only one. It happened again last year, and it was worse. Now, we don't know what this year we tell. This is because population keeps increasing in the city of Jos. People keep tripping in for business. People come in to work. People come in for various reasons, academic and a whole lot. So let's try to understand the fact that we need to keep our environments clean and of course give water a free flow area. It's very important. If you don't, it becomes an enemy. Like a popular song used to say, water gets enemy.
But of course
you can be the enemy of water. And it's also another song actually said, make you no fall for Oshimiri. I think if you understand that better, you should actually concur. Well, Emily, do you have anything to say?
Well, I'll just say we should do the right thing because change begins with you. So if you know that this is what I am supposed to do, do it to avoid damage in the future. That's a wrap from us on the Let's Talk segment. Thank you very much once more, Mr. Sunday, for honoring our invitation.
Thank you.
And not just for the Let's Talk, for the morning, Jane, entirely for the day. Do join us again tomorrow for another interesting edition.
I am Emily Alibeku.
And I'm Richard Badung.
Saying
goodbye.
Thank you.
We are to radio what oxygen is to life. Read us in.
This is JFM Podcast.